You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we are talking Braves baseball. We bring in our Braves reporter for MLB.com, Mark Bowman. Mark, the team announces Joe Simpson and Tim Hudson will be introduced into the Braves Hall of Fame. Let's start with Tim Hudson. Spent 9 seasons with his hometown team. What has he meant to this organization?
Well, you know, it seems like yesterday that they made the trade to bring him from the A's, you know, right there before the 2005 season. That was the point in time where you're getting away from the days of Maddox and Clavin. Smoltz was coming back to the rotation at that point in time, and Tim Hudson was acquired to be that ace for the future. And the deal was a great deal when you think about what they gave up. And here's a guy that grew up an hour and a half south of Atlanta, and to be able to come home and be able to extend his contract even before the start of spring training that year. Everything, I think that everything went as well as expected. I thought Tim put it best yesterday when I talked to him. He said, I gave it everything I had. He said there were two or three years that you know, I'd like to have back that maybe I didn't provide, you know, value that necessary or you know what they were seeking, but this is a deal that you would do every day. Anytime you had a chance to do this again, not just because of what he provided on the mound, but the leadership he provided, the guidance he provided to some of the young pitchers that were coming up as he was in their late, or well, 2009, 2010. You had Chris Medlin, Tommy Hansen coming through to a small extent. He got to help Charlie Morton for a little while. And he just was such a great clubhouse figure. I was talking to him and Eric Hensky, David Ross, and Jason Hayward during the playoffs at one point in time when the Nationals were playing the Cubs this year about how great that 2010 club was. And Huddy talked about it. It was a great season for him. He was coming back from Tommy John. He got comeback player of the year, and he had a great season, but he just kept talking about, you know, the memories he had of playing for Bobby Cox during that final season, and just, you know, how that team bonded. There was something special about it. He had a lot of great guys on it, Martin Prado and the other guys I just mentioned. There was something. There was the chemistry with that club, and also. Just that they were bonding to try to make Bobby's season, last season, so special. He was a big leader within that clubhouse, highly respected, and he certainly deserving to go in the Hall of Fame, as is, you know, Joe Simpson. It's good to see. Here's a guy who's getting ready to start his 27th season broadcasting this team, and he's kind of continued that lineage back to Skip and Pete, the two legendary broadcasters. No one will ever be regarded in the same at the same level as Skip and Pete here in Braves history amongst the broadcasters, but at the same time, Joe learned from those guys. He worked with them for many years, and he's kind of kept that lineage alive. And his long tenure here is going to be rewarded when he goes into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. He began broadcasting for the team back in 1992, so he's definitely seen some ups and downs with this team. Let's talk about some of the latest news with the Braves this week. Their GM is interested in acquiring JT Realmuto and or Christian Yelich potentially from the Marlins. How would the Braves be able to make either of these players work in their organization?
Well, it's going to be expensive to get either one of them. I think that there are plenty of teams that would be interested in either one of these guys. You know, we all know what the Marlins situation is. It's not necessarily as they were unloading Stanton, Gordon, and Ozuna. You know, it became apparent that, you know, there's a chance that these two guys could become available. They even, to some extent, expressed their their desire to be traded. If this is the way the team was going, they didn't want to be the last one left in town. So I at that point in time, the interesting thing is this. The Braves were somewhat ahead of the game because while some teams were expressing interest in Stanton and Ozuna, they were checking in on Yelich, and they thought they made some progress during the winter meetings. But the Marlins backed away at that point in time. They were getting hit pretty hard from their fans and everything. But there was the outlash created by the other trades was it was time for them to take a break. So that's where they stood. And in the meantime, now that the Braves have maintained interest, there are many other teams that have interest in Yelich. And as for Real Muto, I wrote last week that given the choice, as much as I like Yelich, I understand he's got a great contract, he's got a great future. I would take Real Muto because it's a commodity. I'm not saying there are Yeliches that grow on trees on every tree, but at the same time, there are very few Real Mutos in the game. I think you could consider him a very easily one of the top five catchers in the game, and within the next couple of years, he may be considered the best. Here's a true leader within the clubhouse, a great athlete. The Braves are hurting for catching within their system. They have a couple lottery tickets, some guys that might develop, Alex Jackson being probably the one that people are going to keep their eyes on the most. But at the same time, here's a guy that could be one of the best in the game. Right? Given a choice, I'll take him, but at the same time, you'll take either one. And if you're looking ahead, for this season alone, this is Freddie Freeman is going into this year knowing that he really doesn't have any protection behind him. Adding either one of those two guys to the lineup lengthens it and provides him the protection that he doesn't have within the current projected makeup.
All right, now moving on to the free agent market. The Braves are interested in signing a starting pitcher. We'll keep a close eye on that, and you'll fill us in on any updates, Mark. But for now, the Braves have only three starters locked into rotation spots for 2018, Julio Teheran, Mike Buntanich, and the newly acquired Brandon McCarthy. What do you believe the rotation will look like for 2018?
Well, I think you've got to throw, you've got to expect the way, what you saw from Luis Gohar, it was, not a lot of starts there down the stretch, but I think you have to think that he has a good chance to be part of that rotation. I think you also have to keep your eyes open and the possibility that Julio could be traded. As teams get a sense of where they stand heading towards spring training, if there's a desire to add some pitching. Here's a guy that projects as maybe a decent, some teams may consider him a decent number three, number four starter, just add some depth to the rotation. And then obviously you got your young kids coming, and that's going to be the interesting thing in camp is, where does a Lucas Sims fit? It's easy to say, oh, well, maybe he's one of their long relievers. Maybe he starts the year AAA. He pitched pretty well in many games. He's a competitor. He may not have some of the upside as Max Fried and some of the other young guys that are becoming to camp this year looking to gain a rotation spot. But you've got Fried and Sims there. You've also got Mike Soroka, Colby Allard knocking on the door. And as we talk about these guys, it's a reminder of how deep this system is within pitching and why, yes, there are a lot of teams out there bidding for Yelich. And for Real Muto to some extent, but at the same time, the Braves have the pieces that could interest the Marlins because of this deep pitching crop that we talk about on a weekly basis in some shape or form. I think that it's going to be very interesting. I think that the rotation could evolve as the season goes on. One other guy I forgot to throw in there was Sean Newcomb. I think the same thing with Luis Gohar. I think he probably has a spot, coming into the camp. But at the same time, look, if you're a team, you're not going to guarantee a guy with less than 20 career starts. Say, hey, look, he definitely have a spot in the rotation. You want him coming to camp hungry and knowing that he has to fight and earn his earn that place that he gained the previous season.
All right, speaking of pitching depth, let's talk about the bullpen. And I know they've got their closer all set in Vizcaíno, but how do you see the rest of this relief corps shaping up?
Well, you've got A.J. Minter right there behind Vizcaíno. And you look back at how A.J. fared after he came up in August. He ended up striking out 17 of the final 31 batters faced. This guy has closer stuff. I think you start the season with Vizcaíno as your closer. You know the Minter can be a top setup man. I think Jose Ramirez, his numbers were tarnished by the fatigue that he showed down the stretch last year. I think you can pencil him in there. And I still kind of expect them to add another bullpen piece. It may not be a necessity. They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of arms that can compete for spots. But, you know, with their young rotation, they're probably going to go with an 8-man pen. So once you get back and say you've got Daniel Winkler, Sam Freeman, to help there in the middle innings, and now all of a sudden you got 5 of your 8, you still want to continue to add, because let's look back just 1 year ago. The Braves brought about 14 or 15 guys to camp in their bullpen. And you thought, okay, they got plenty of depth. They'll get through this year just fine. Well, they didn't even get through spring training, you know, without having to put some guys in that bullpen that they never really intended to. And then you take a look back at how many guys that they were considered candidates last year that aren't even in the system anymore. And that's not just because they were – that's not because they excelled and went and got a big contract elsewhere or were traded for value. You know, they just it's just so hard to predict a reliever from year to year. So while you really like what you saw from Sam Freeman last year, you have to remember that it's just hard to predict what a reliever is going to do from year to year. So you've got to have that depth. I think it'd be great if they use some of the money they have left to go ahead and add some experience to that pen.
All right, last but not least, let's talk about this lineup. We've been talking a lot about the Arizona Fall League MVP, Ronald Acuña. I know a lot of people are excited to see him. How do you think this lineup looks opening day?
So opening day, I think it's probably going to be Acuña-less. They'll probably wait a little bit of time to get him in the lineup just for the service time and all that kind of stuff. Enhance the years of control, all that kind of stuff. We'll see exactly how long they wait to add him. But I think there's a reason to be excited about, you know, you're going to have Enci Arce up there at the top and Albies and Freddie Freeman. There is a concern that, you know, you really don't have that guy that can protect him. I would say right now you put Tyler Flowers in the cleanup spot and probably Nick Markakis behind him. As things stand right now, you got Johan Camargo slated at third base and Dansby Swanson at shortstop. They're going to go ahead and sit down there at the bottom of the lineup. But Camargo, it'll be interesting. I still get the sense that Alex Anthopoulos would like to add a third baseman and utilize Camargo as one of his bench players. So still a chance they go that way. And in left field, for now, you're saying Lane Adams is going to hold that spot until they're ready to promote Acuña, whether that's in late April or, you know, early May, early June, whatever. I'd say Lane Adams will sit there, and maybe Preston Tucker. We'll see how he does during spring training. Maybe they would share the left field position until Acuña's ready.
All right, a lot of moves to be made still for this team potentially, so we'll keep an eye on it, and you'll fill us in. But, Mark, thanks so much for joining us this week on MLB.com Extras, Braves edition, obviously. Big thank you, and until next week, we'll talk to you soon.